The Indian Railways has lined up a massive investment plan of over Rs 13 lakh crore under the National Infrastructure Pipeline, and also a capital expenditure of Rs 2.15 lakh crore for the upcoming financial year. Railways is something that is directly related to the lives of the common man. Today, we have with us Mr. R. Shivadasan, former Financial Commissioner of the Railway Board and a veteran in the sector. He will be talking about the various aspects of the infrastructure development in the Indian Railways. Mr. Srinivasan, welcome to the podcast. Sir, Railways has lined up massive investment plans during the current financial year and also as per the NIP. Where will the investment go? What will be the plan as far as Indian Railways is concerned?
Okay, Shang, these investments are massive. Now the annual plan outlays for the year 21-22 is 2.5 trillion. Almost half of this outlay is supposed to be sourced from through IRFC, institutional finance, and then public-private partnerships. That is very important. The National Infrastructure Pipeline has a huge project implementation program for 111 trillion. It provides about 13.6 trillion for Indian Railways. Indian Railways have got a long list of projects, maybe about 7,000-odd projects. For Indian Railways, projects included in NIP have an implementation period of 5 years. Much of the investment is going into capacity augmentation, like doubling or quadrupling of railway lines, electrification, modern signaling, and rolling stock, acquisition of more and more rolling stock, because tremendous number of rolling stock will be required, wagons and locomotives particularly. The difference is that private partnerships are being encouraged to bring in new technologies and more commercial orientation to ensure recovery on investments.
So how do you see the modernization of plans that the railways have lined up?
See, it is something like this. The next 5 years will witness the completion of and full-fledged commercial operation of both Western and Eastern dedicated freight corridors. Even during the pandemic year, Indian Railways freight business remained intact, even without commercial operation of DFC. Freight business will have a resurgent period now onwards, once we settle the pandemic issues after the vaccination drill is over. Passenger riderships are likely to touch about 10,000 million. IR will need more heavy haul locomotives with much higher tractive effort, which are presently in short supply. Even though the general outlook appears to be resurgent, we have to cautiously observe as to how post-COVID passenger preferences would impact rail travel. For example, we have to watch if more people prefer higher speed daytime journeys overnight travel. To what extent video conferencing modes are likely to disrupt IR's business travel volumes? The business travel volumes can be affected. Airlines, it is expected to be around 20-30%, whereas for railways, I don't know. We'll have to just watch this trend. This is where the private train operators can possibly do well when they are engaged, when we are proposing to engage them by 2022-23, they may be able to do a better job in preventing the permanent loss in business travel volumes. Post-COVID, India can perhaps impact asset monetization of commercial land and space available with railway stations in the city centers of big cities. If commercial development models are still anchored on the all the stereotyped shopping arcade come office complex come hotels format, investments will have to be made to match the shift in preferences of rail users and other customers. A serious reshaping of rail business models will be required. And I hope, I think Indian Railways and the government will be able to handle this issue properly.
So you think rail travelers will be having a different experience probably once the private sector is roped in, once the private sector comes to the sea?
Definitely. Because they will have more commercial freedom to operate, and they will be able to offer better passenger comforts. and even acquire better quality rolling stock.
Okay.
Maybe unlease. I don't know how that is going to be handled. Probably private leasing companies also will have to be allowed to come in. In that case, definitely the passengers will get a better, facilities of travel. And even the timing can be improved.
But do you think railway finance is still a cause of concern for the national transporter?
No, it is as of the moment, to some extent, it is so, but this can be turned around. Reshaping of the business model of the railways can improve railway finances. Niti Aayog had prescribed some good initiatives. Too much money is the problem is now, too much money is being spent on maintenance of low technology rolling stock that is now in now that the railways have now. That is why we are trying to acquire better quality, more powerful locomotives through Alstom and of course GE to have started production. And Indian Railways themselves, both this Benares locomotive works as well as CLW will have to make these changes. The main problem is there is another problem also. Components supplied by the original equipment manufacturers that we have developed within India have quality issues. And the main pillar of Atmanirbhar mission must be to encourage and reward quality in rolling stock components and coaches, components for coaches, etc., by the private companies, which are developed by RDSO. Better quality rolling stock can perform well, and sweating of these better quality assets would bring down ordinary working expenses of the railways. Maintenance of rolling stock and permanent way too can probably we can I'm this is my suggestion is that can be outsourced through competitive bidding. Private sector can come in into the role of maintaining the rolling stock as well as permanent way.
Railways is mulling 100% electrification. Is it realistic? What are your views on that?
Oh, there's a good question. This is a very good decision. Contemporaneously relevant and bold decision. My impression is that 100% electrification shall be used for the commercial lines of the railways. Railways have two types of network. One is the commercial lines, the other is the strategic lines. So the strategic lines continue on diesel traction. That is what my impression is. The commercial lines will be switched over 100% to electrification. The benefits of electrification, as everyone knows, are many. Four important ministries in this government had shown their leadership in reducing emissions and more than fulfilling India's commitment to Paris Agreement under UNFCCC. Before 2014, you will remember, India was being targeted for using firewood, dry leaves, and cow dung for cooking in rural households. And these rural households have been generating soot, it is called a black carbon, that put the Himalayan glaciers in danger. So this criticism was there. India was being targeted particularly, very severely by the other countries. In 2016, the Honorable Prime Minister took the momentous decision to formulate and successfully implement Pradhan Mantri Ujjwala Yojana. This scheme provided deeply subsidized liquefied petroleum gas connections to nearly 100 million rural households. Thereafterwards, what happened is that one of the finest decisions has been taken by Mr. Piyush Goyal in Railway Ministry to go for 100% electrification. And this is a very, very good, very highly impactful measure. And we should welcome that.
However, there is a counter view that there is no country in the world which is 100% electrified. The railway system is 100% electrified. So, is it wise to go for that?
It is wise, definitely, because Europe, for example, Europe has about 37 large cities. India has 58 cities. We need to provide for faster connectivities. Annihilation of distance can be done only by higher speeds. So this can be done by electrified trains. Diesel trains will not be able to provide for that kind of speed. And therefore, switch over to 100% electrification, as is in the case of Europe, is a good idea. Even America is now, for passenger trains, they are now switching over to electrification.
You mentioned about the dedicated freight corridor. So, do you think it will be a game changer for the Indian Railways? If yes, why?
It is too early to call commissioning of DFC a game changer. What will be a game changer would be the completion of Western and Eastern Diamond Quadrilateral corridors, which have both high-speed trains network and heavy haul freight network, that is DFC, accompanied by availability of high capacity rolling stock. So you remember in the party manifesto of the present government in 2014, there are three important things that were mentioned. One is the dedicated freight corridor for other legs of the Golden Quadrilateral. Two, and most importantly, the Diamond Quadrilateral corridors with the bullet trains that was mentioned in that. And third one was upgrading the existing track system and then rolling stock. So at least my feeling is that both Eastern and Western Diamond Quadrilateral corridors will have to also come up along with both the projects which are DFC projects which are under implementation. They are almost ready for completion. Maybe it will take another one more year. But without the other one materializing, we can't say DFC alone is going to be a game changer for Indian Railways.
With a workforce of around 1.2 million, the Indian Railways is one of the largest organizations in the country. Railways handling of freight is a key indicator of how the country's economy is functioning. Let us all expect a bright future for the national transporter. Thank you, Mr. Shivadasan.
Thank you.